Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Thanks for being spontaneous with me on these Thursdays. There's just so much to do. And so I try to get it in before the day's over. And so the beauty of these shows is that you can download them whenever you want. And so I was just asking the Lord, what does he want? What does he want for the title of today's show? And so it's having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And that I took that from 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. And so, isn't it incredible? The Lord knows who are his. And we have a seal. Isn't that awesome? We are sealed by the Lord, by the power of the Spirit. It's like when we have him, we know that we are sealed in him. And so I, of course, want to thank IHOP Kansas for allowing me to play their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make his face to shine upon them and give them his peace and give them above and beyond what they could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill their part of your story, Lord. And I'm going to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from every single one of your enemies. And we just thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. And here's the recording of the shofar. I wanted to also share with you that I had a book published. It's published through A Book's Mind, and it's part of Christian International. That's one of their affiliates, and I just want to thank them. Thank Christian International and A Book's Mind for publishing my book, which is called Stewards of the Mysteries. And it's Shar Olla, which is Olla Feldhusen. F is in Frank, Eldhusen. You can get it on all of the main book places like Barnes and Nobles. You can get it on Amazon.com and eBay. So I just hope that you would check that out. It's prophetic poems and rhymes that the Lord has given me. I have so many more. I have enough for another book. He just has given me some beautiful poems and words for the body of Christ. And so it's great to be able to share them. I knew this book was from him. And so I just want to thank him for all the beautiful friends who are a part of encouraging me and helping me. And so I want to say the same prayer that I said last week. And it's this, that we would be awake, that we will know when you come into our garden, Lord, and that the fruits of heaven, the fruits that are from you, Holy Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, that we are continually growing in your fruits. Thank you that you grow them in us. And Lord, I just thank you for continually helping us to be sensitive to you, Lord. Let us be so sensitive that we can feel you wanting to come in and dine with us. Come into our garden, Lord, to have fellowship with us. We really do want to be lovesick for you, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us walk after you and reveal Jesus to us and lead us into the secret place of your presence. Pour yourself into us, Lord. And yes, that pardon, the scripture in Philippians 3 is so true. Lord, nothing can be compared to the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Jesus Christ our Lord and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, Lord, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding you more fully and clearly. And so I wanted to go to Solomon 8:6, and the Lord really quickened this to me because it's like, he was like, Shar, you are sealed in me. My sons and daughters are sealed in me. And what was cool is how Song of Solomon said the same thing. Song of Solomon 8:6, put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire. The very flame of the Lord, isn't that gorgeous? A most vehement flame. The flame of God. The flame of Jehovah. No, we're sealed in him. In him. This is in Ephesians 1:13. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. And here's 1 Corinthians 1:22. Who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. And the scripture that I used, of course, for the title was 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. You know, do you remember when you had your spiritual birth? I mean, I do. I just remember how everything changed. And I knew that I was a child of God, that God forgave my sins through Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit, that he helps me daily to walk the walk. I mean, you can't even read the scriptures and understand them unless the Holy Spirit illuminates the word to you and me. And so I always pray Ephesians 1:17-23, because we want him to enlighten the eyes of our hearts, because we have to hang out with the Holy Spirit for him to teach us, illuminate us, and give us the light of heaven. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 2:20. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Our most pure worship, of course, is to bring ourselves as that offering, to present ourselves as that living holy sacrifice, to give him the glory due his name. And I just want you to think about 1 Chronicles 16:29. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And how do you do that? Well, when you worship him, you can enter into the secret place, because when we worship, he inhabits the praises of his people. And so he will bring us into the secret place of his presence as we worship him. and as we sit before him. And, you know, what kind of an offering are we to bring him? Well, we're to be that living sacrifice, as in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And what is it? What is it to be a living sacrifice? It's complete surrender to the Lord, saying, you know what, Lord? I belong to you. I offer myself to you. I lay down my life for you, Lord. I don't want that old nature anymore. You took care of that, Lord. You took care of the old man. Lord, help me to live in you, and in you. And I know my friend and my pastor always says, in him we live and move and have our being. And yes, we do. We have such an amazing picture of the worthiness and the holiness and the transcendent beauty of God in Revelation 4. Think about this. They were in the presence of the Lord, and his presence and beauty caused them night and day to fall down before him and worship him. And I just thank Mike Bickles for his teachings that he has on the beauty of the Lord and intimacy with him. And if you've never studied it, really go study it at mikebickle.org. He has so many beautiful teachings to bring people into the presence of the Lord and to know the beauty of the Lord in the book of Revelations. Think about this. It's a picture of bringing sacrifices to the altar of God. This is from Romans 12:1. Bringing their choices of the flock is an atonement for their sins. But here, we are the living sacrifices, presenting ourselves holy and acceptable to him, being loyal to him, pledging our allegiance to him, only him, holy gods. What better offering is due his name to worship in the beauty of holiness than us completely surrendering our lives to him? He is the one who bought us with a price, his very own blood. And think about this. He came to restore the image of God in us. This all happened in the Garden of Eden. Listen to Psalm 69, verses 4, and I'm going to read 7, 21, and 26 so that you know it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who hate me, we're going to Psalm 69, 4. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, I then have to restore. Now here's verse 7. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Dishonor has covered my face. I have become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons. And we know that happened to the Lord Jesus. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. And I'm going to talk about that. If you please remember that part. And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Verse 21. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. For they have persecuted him whom you yourself, this is another one I'm going to talk about. For they have persecuted him whom you yourself have smitten, and they tell of the pain of those whom you have wounded. And so in Psalm 69, verse 26, it sounds so puzzling if you don't understand that Jesus was smitten for us. And so I want you to think about Isaiah 53. As I'm talking about this, the religious leaders, while Jesus was being crucified for us, mocked and persecuted him, while he was taking on himself everything we should have been persecuted for. So I want you to listen to Isaiah 53, verses 6, 8, and 10. All of us, like sheep, Oh, excuse me, please, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Now here's verse 8. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with the wicked men. He was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord, this is verse 10 now, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. He would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. So thinking on those scriptures, we have to go back again to that scripture in 69 verses 4. And, well, I'm going to go to verse 4. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, I have to restore. Now, let's go down to verse 26. For they have persecuted him whom you yourself have smitten, and they tell of the pain of those whom you have wounded. And that was, of course, like I just read to you, that Jesus became an offering for us, that he paid for everything we would have had to pay for. He was separated. Think about when he said to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I remember as a young Christian always wondering, Lord, why did you say that? But of course, as you mature, you understand that he even took on the separation that we would have had to have, separation from the Father. He even took on that for us. And I want you to think about Jesus came and he overcame the devil. What was it that he had to overcome for us and why? So when Adam and Eve fell, the devil convinced them that God was withholding wisdom and that they would know good and evil and be just like God. The thing is, they already were made in his image and likeness, and then sin and the curse entered into this realm where Adam and Eve were, and Adam was supposed to have dominion over everything. And so he surrendered that. And so they found out that eating from the tree now brought in everything they didn't have to know. And what was that? That was evil. That's what the tree was about, choosing to know good and evil when they did not have to know that. They did not have to know evil. This is what Jesus did for us. Everything that was lost, the image of God in us, Jesus came to restore. And so I'm going to go in 1 John 2:13, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. And I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And what does he mean by that? Well, he means the world system. We could use the word, you know, bling, the bling of the world system. And there's nothing wrong with having jewelry. That's not what I mean. I'm going to go into the next verse, and then you'll get what he's saying. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. You know, in the wilderness, Jesus, being our forerunner, defeated the devil on all levels with the written word of God, the lust of the flesh, not eating for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil says, hey, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Now, trust me, Jesus could have easily done that. Jesus was like, nah, devil, man shall not eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he returned from the Jordan and was led. This is now I'm going into, that was John. Okay, so now I'm going to go into a little bit of Luke. Luke 4, starting at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. And that's when the devil said to him, hey, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And of course, Jesus answered by what was in, I just read in John, man shall not live on bread alone. But this, lost my spot. Sorry about that. Okay. And I'm going to go to Matthew. Matthew 4, verses 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And you see, this is where Adam and Eve were duped, because God had warned Adam, but he didn't believe God's word. You know, if someone gives their word, especially the Lord, we have to be able to trust that. And this is where people are duped out of the image of God that's inside of them, because they believe that God is withholding something from them, and they seek after dark knowledge and fall into that very same trap. Think about, we're going to go to Luke 4:5. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you this, all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Well, is that true? Was it handed over to him? Yes. Adam handed it over to him. But guess what? Remember what Jesus said? I came to restore what I did not steal. What we read in Psalm 69. He came to restore. He came to overcome for us the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. This is what it's really about. He, the devil, wanted Jesus, the Son of God, to worship him. It's like, no, sorry, it's not going on. In Matthew, that's when the devil had the audacity to ask the Lord to worship him. Jesus knew who he was. But this was for us, to defeat the things that Adam and Eve fell captive to. We're going to Matthew 4:5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And of course, this is Matthew's gospel about this. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And that's really what he wants. He wants worship. He wants to be like God, but he is not God. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now, of course, he is called the God of this world system, but he is not God. And that's a small g, okay? So we're going to go down a little bit. There's of course, he's finished, and he returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spreads through all the surrounding districts. Luke 4:14, and he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And you see, he's coming in the power of the Spirit. And he was led into the desert by the Spirit also. And so to overcome for us. And he began teaching in their synagogue and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and restore recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And we're just going to stop there. So this is what it's all about. We have a spiritual enemy who hates us. His MO is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. Why does the devil hate us so much? Because we are God's creation, created in his image, and he wants to destroy the image of God. He does it through so many different ways. And I just wanted to talk about what that word image in the Strong 06754 means. It's from an unused root. I went further into the root, which means to shade. And I thought that was so interesting because it talks about how we're under his shadow and we're in his shade. And I just think it's so beautiful. It means image, likeness, of resemblance. And I was thinking about the shade. Think about this in Psalm 17:8. "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." And what about Psalm 36:7? "How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings." Psalm 57:1, "Be gracious to me, O God. Oh, be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until destruction passes by." In Psalm 63:7, it says, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for you." We become like him as we dwell with him in his shelter and abide in his shadow. Think about Psalm 91:1. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And I just want you to think again how we were talking about last week, how it all started in the garden. It ends in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweats drops of blood for us. For us. He did this all for us. And so I want to, again, just play a little bit of Missy Edwards' song, "Come Into My Garden." I'm not going to play a lot of it because we just don't have a lot of time left. But I just want you to think about how he comes into the garden of our hearts.
Within the soul in your jealousy. You created me as a garden enclosed for you alone. There's a world inside, more real than meets the eye, reserved for your home in your jealousy.
Let it play in the back. Hopefully it's not going to go too loud like it does sometimes. I think I better turn it down just a little smidge. Isn't that beautiful? We're going to go into Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food," and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very, very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so I wanted to then go into 1 Corinthians 15:42, because he is the last Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Thank you, Jesus. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man, who was of the earth, made of dust, was made of dust. I'm going to say that again. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, now I really, we've all read this, but this is so powerful. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Isn't that beautiful? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. Hallelujah. The last Adam. You see, we were made in the image of God. And that's why the devil hates us so much, because we were made in the image of God, and he rebelled against God. He was before the throne before he fell, but pride is what brought him low. And so he is under our feet. We are sealed, the seal of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful, what he's done for us? It's such an incredible thing. I really want you to ponder on that, because I know there are some people, they feel, why did God do this, or why did God do that? Why did God make, why didn't God do something about a person in your family? And you have to remember that we are in a fallen world. And if we don't know the Lord, and if we don't have that knowledge, the knowledge that he's the healer, we're going to think he's the one that brought sickness, when really the enemy of our souls brought it. Jesus is the healer. Read Isaiah 53. He came to heal us, to carry our griefs and our sorrows. He came to, he, by the wounds on his back, the 39 stripes on his back, he took every sickness for us. He is not the one that causes sickness and disease. And there's so many people out there that blame God for things that he did not do when he came to restore us back to the Garden of Eden, back to that perfect place before the fall of man. And so I just want to thank you for joining me. And I'm still letting that play in the background, but I want to really leave with the song, The Joy of Being Lovesick. And so I'm going to do that, because that's what we need to be. You know, what did he say in Revelations 3:20? I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Let me in, and I will dine with you and you with me. And that is such a place of spiritual intimacy. He's the lover of our soul. And so let's ask him, Lord, make us lovesick for you. Just like the woman in the Song of Solomon, when she got up and she didn't even know you were gone, Jesus. And then she went and she searched for you. And she said, tell him I am lovesick. And so I'm going to go out with that song, The Joy of Being Lovesick, with Corey Asbury. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope it blessed you.
Thank you.